Okay, Rosh Hashanah, Perek Dalet, the final Mishnah, Mishnah Tet, is going to talk about the question of how many sounds of the shofar must you hear. We're going to talk a little bit about that, as well as the length of each sound. So this is a very involved topic. It was one that has a lot of literature written about it in the halakha. We're just going to do it on the surface level from the Mishnah, and we'll try to explain as much as we can to crystallize the idea, and then we'll move forward. So
Number nine.
Last Mishnah. Seder tekiot shalosh shel shalosh shalosh. The order of the tekiot is three of three times three. Now, what does that mean? So just to explain what that means, you need a little bit of understanding from the Gemara. The Gemara tells us that how many sounds does a person need to hear? A person has to hear three teruot. The Torah uses the word teruah three times, twice in the topic of Yovel, once in the topic of Rosh Hashanah, a total of three times, and the two are connected to each other, Yovel and Rosh Hashanah. And so the rabbis learned you have to have three teruot. They also learned, based on psukim, that every teruah is preceded and followed by a tiki'ah. So you need to have tiki'ah, teruah, tiki'ah, three times. That's shalosh, a set of three, shel shalosh shalosh, and each of those sets of three you have to have three times. So three sets of three means a total of nine kolot, nine voices. Tiki'ah teruah tiki'ah tiki'ah teruah tiki'ah tiki'ah teruah tiki'ah. That fulfills your mitzvah of shofar. All you have to hear is nine sounds, tish'a kolot. So now you're going to ask me, what are we doing with the 101? And we're doing way more than nine. So how did that happen? So
it's the nine blows. Nine blows.
Nine kolot, nine voices, nine sounds of the shofar. In other words, and each one makes a different version of that sound. Tiki'ah is straight, and now we have to figure out what teruah is. So that really became the big question: is what is the sound of the teruah? That's what the Gemara says. We're not clear of what is a teruah. A teruah could have three potential options. It could be a lot of short blows, like the wailing of a child, right? Or the wailing of a mother when the child doesn't come back home, the Gemara says. So that's more of a hysterical kind of cry. That's one option for the teruah. Another option of the teruah is more like a sigh, right? Which is shorter, but less sounds, but longer each sound. That sounds more like what we would call today shivarim. That's another option of what the tiruah sounded like. A third option was the two of those put together, starting with the size and then eventually going into the very short.
That's why we do all three.
Exactly. So the Gemara says, because we're in doubt as to what exactly, which one is the correct sound, we do all three sets of sounds. So you'll see here, I put in the mahzor, in the first 30, eventually this comes out to 30 sounds, the first 30 sounds of the blowing of the shofar, you basically covered everything. So you can see we start with the shivarim teruah, and we do three sets of that with the tiki'ah before and after. Then you have the three shivarim, three sets of that with the tiki'ah before and after, and then three teruah with the tiki'ah before and after. And if you added that up, it's a total of 30 sounds. 30 blows.
But this would only cover one of those three.
One of these is the correct way.
And it covers one.
Uh-huh. That's it. That's all you need. But that's all you need. All you need to hear is nine sounds.
Total, right.
So all you need to do is have one of these three sets. One of these three sets is correct. And so one of these three sets counts as the right way. So once you did these 30, you fulfilled your obligation. Done.
So why Musaf? Count this 30, not 27?
Because they count the Shivarim Teruah combination as two separate ones. That's why they call it 30. Yeah. So
makes
once you did those 30, you're donezo. You fulfilled your obligation. Technically, you can go home at that point. You fulfilled the mitzvah. No question. Now, why did the rabbis do more than that? Because later on, they really wanted you to recite, to do these sounds during the Amidah, while you're making the berachot of Malchiyot, Zichronot, Veshofarot, what the rabbis called Al Seder HaBerachot. So really, the proper place for these 30 are spread out through the Amidah. However, the rabbis also, Ralph will tell you, we just saw it in the Gemara Masechet Rosh Hashanah, they instituted that you should blow the 30 both sitting down as well before the Amidah, as well as standing up during the Amidah. Why did the rabbis do that? For a concept called Kedei Le'arbev Et HaSatan, to mix up the Satan, the prosecutor against the Jewish people. The prosecutor wants to speak bad about us and our actions at the time of judgment, at the time that the shofar is blowing. And so what we do is we blow the shofar at an odd time when he's not expecting it in order to mess him up. He thinks that there's the shofar of the Mashiach is coming and that he's losing out his job to prosecute the Jewish people. And so he starts to get messed up. And so by blowing the shofar at different points in different positions, we basically gazed up the Satan, who's unable to now prosecute the Jewish people during the time. So although by letter of the law you fulfilled your obligation, the rabbis wanted you to do it sitting and standing, and so we do that extra. And so what comes out there is you would have 30 while sitting, and then 30 during the Amidah while standing. That gets you to 60. Then the custom developed a little bit later on. It's not mentioned by the Rambam. It's much, much later, more like 1600s, 1700s. The custom developed to also do a set of 30 during the repetition of the Amidah. So you got 30 before, 30 during the repetition. That gets you up to 90. And then afterwards, there's another 10 that they put into the Kaddish also to be Ma'arbev. And then there's the Teruah Gedolah, which is the extra one. And some of those additions at the end were a little bit Kabbalistic in nature, of having to try to get to a certain number, and so on and so forth. But ideally, by letter of the law of the Rambam, Shulchan Aruch, the Gemara, everybody, once you have these 30, you fulfilled your obligation 100%. If a person left the shul at that point, we would say he fulfilled his mitzvah. He fulfilled his mitzvah. Okay. So that's just a little bit of, we're extending the Mishnah a little bit beyond. We have to have some insertions from the Gemara there. But that's the Gemara's first line, Seder Tikiot, Shalosh, Shel Shalosh, Shalosh. The order of the Tikiot is a three. You have to have three Teruot, and each one is brought on the set of three times three, which is a total of 9 Tikiot. Questions? Okay. The next part of the Mishnah, we're just going to translate, but I'm going to leave it to maybe have a class closer to Rosh Hashanah with Rabbi Arking, who's the blower of the shofar, to show you a little bit about the length of sounds of the shofar. Because not everything is followed halacha lema'aseh from this Mishnah. Some things are not in accordance with this Mishnah.
So they've been blowing the shofar, you're telling me, since Moshe Rabbeinu?
Well, that mitzvah is given from the Torah. Yeah,
exactly. So the first time the Gemara records anyone blowing the shofar, like, how did that practice come into actually play for the people? It happened already, by Moshe's time, probably?
Moshe blew the Hatzotzerot in the Midbar, blew shofar in the Midbar, I'm sure. You're asking, how did we get to the point where we don't know? The Rambam says because of all of the exiles into all different places and a lack of being in the land of Israel and a spreading out, something like that, you know, kind of shifted and changed a little bit as a result.
It's a Torah commandment, so it means...
Correct. Yeah. So that's why we have to fulfill it in all the different ways. Shi'ur tiki'ah kishlosh teruot. The length of a tiki'ah is equivalent to 3 teruot. Okay? Shi'ur tiki'ah, sorry. So what does this mean? Shi'ur tiki'ah, the length of the tiki'ah is the 3 teruot. The rabbis explain over here, it's the length of all of the tiki'ot. If you put, how many tiki'ot would one set have? Look over here. And how many tiki'ot would it have?
No, you have 6 there.
6.
Yeah.
6. Any set of 9, any set of 3, is going to have 6 tiki'ot. So says the Mishnah, Shi'ur tiki'ah, the set of 6, if you take the length of all 6 tiki'ot and you put them together, that equals shalosh teruot, is equivalent to the 3 teruot. So just for a second, use the bottom one, because this is the easiest one. You see tiki'ah, teruah, tiki'ah. So the length, if you were to put back to back all of the tiki'ot, the length of all of the tiki'ot would be equivalent to the 3 teruot.
So teruah is double.
Good. So one tiki'ah is half of a teruah.
Yeah.
The sound of the thing is half of a teruah. That's according to the Mishnah. Shi'ur teruah, the length of the teruah, is kishalosh yabavot, is like 3 whales. Right? A yabava is like a whale or a sigh. Right? It sounds like the Mishnah over here is saying 3 is like tu tu tu. That's a teruah. 3 whales. אז יש מפרשים שכל גבבה היא שלוש כוחות של כל שהן, right? So then others say, no. What the question now is, what's a yabava? What's a wail? So some people say a wail is just like a short sound, tu tu tu, which would make a teruah just three short sounds. Others say no. Each yabava is a longer sound, like a shivarim, and then each one of those yabavot is three shorter sounds. Mm-hmm. So don't yeah. So you have a tikiah is a straight sound, tu. Then you have each teruah. Right, a teruah is made up of three yabavot, three wails. So by the way we do it is, a wail is a shivarim. Tu, 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 that's a wail. Each one of those wails, tu, is the same as tu, 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 is the same as three shorter sounds. So essentially, if I was to draw it on a paper, okay?
Yeah.
Right, you would have a straight sound, then that straight sound, right, you could have is three, then you have the teruah is three short sounds, and then each of those short sounds is three even shorter sounds.
Right.
So how many sounds is a tiruah? If you have three yabavot and each yabavah is three shorter sounds, how much is the tiruah? How many sounds?
Nine.
Exactly, nine. That's how many sounds the blower of the shofar is making when he's doing it. Nine sounds. Okay?
Yeah.
Okay. That has a lot of literature written about it.
The tiruah.
The teruah and the yabavot and all different ways. I mean, it's there's pages. It's crazy, and there's all different methods and so there's more that goes into it. Now you see, the person who's blowing the shofar also has to know a lot about what he's doing. It's not just randomly blowing. There has to be there's a technique that's very very specific. Taka barishona umashach bashiniya kishtayim. Now the Mishnah tells us, if he blew a tiki'ah, now you'll notice that in this order, so you're going to blow two tiki'ot back to back, right?
Yes. Because
you're going to do tiki'ah, teru'ah, tiki'ah, and then tiki'ah. So you're blowing two tiki'ot back to back. So says the Mishnah, let's say the guy got cute and said, you know what, instead of blowing two separate tiki'ot, I'm just going to blow one really long one and have it count as two. Taka barishona, he blew the shofar first. Umashach bashniya kishtayim. On the second tiki'ah, he elongated it as if it was two. Says the Mishnah, en biyado ela ahat. That only counts as one. You cannot count a very lengthy tiki'ah, even if it's the length of two tiki'ot. Normally, it has to have a pause in between in order to be counted as two separate ones. Okay. Mish, and that this, by the way, that law makes things even more complicated, because now you have to make sure that your tiki'ot are very, very similarly sounded. Now the halakha now starts to get into, if you do a tiru'ah too long, it could sound like a shivarim, and if you do the shivarim too long, it could be a potentially sound like a tiki'ah. So there's now a big science into the person blowing the shofar as to how long his things are going to be. If his shivarim is too long, his shivarim could potentially be a tiki'ah, and that doesn't count. So he has to have a very consistent.
And if he can't get the sound out too.
Right. So you have to be able to get the sound out, and you have to be able to keep your, you have to be consistent in the length of the things that you're doing. Otherwise, one sound can overlap with another sound, and now you have a big problem.
Right.
Okay. Mi sheberach ve'achar kach nitmana lo shofar. Someone who made the beracha to blow the shofar, and only afterwards nitmana. Where is it? Where am I looking here? Right. Afterwards, he got the shofar. So he first made the beracha, and then only afterwards he was given the shofar to be able to blow. Tokeya umeria vetokeya shalosh pe'amim. He blows the shofar, tiki'ah, tiru'ah, tiki'ah, three times. One for malchiyot, one for zichronot, and one for shofarot. Why did they mention it this way? Meaning, ideally, a person has to make the beracha on the shofar, and then he... Sorry, but beracha over here doesn't mean the beracha before the shofar. The beracha over here is in reference to the berachot of the Amidah. Like we said, you want to blow the three sets of the shofar during the berachot of the Amidah of Musaf. One for Malchiyot, one for Zichronot, one for Shofarot. So says the Mishnah, what happens if a person already prayed Musaf? He prayed Musaf without a shofar. Berech. He didn't have a shofar at the time. He said, okay, I don't have a shofar. What am I going to do? He's prayed Tefillat Musaf. After he finishes Musaf, someone says, hey, here's a shofar, you can blow the shofar now, right? So then he just blows the sets, one right after the other. He doesn't have to do it al pi seder ha-berachot. He could just do it three times, one for malchiyot, one for zichronot, one for shofarot, but he doesn't have to do it on the Musaf.
He doesn't,
Well, maybe you say, maybe I should re-pray it or say it again. No, the answer is he doesn't have to. He just needs to blow the shofar. Exactly.
It's less
right.
than that, though, but yeah.
It's even, well, it would have just been this, and now today it's this.
Right.
It's this whole thing. Right? So today, today when somebody goes to, let's say you have a person who's sick, can't make it to Knis.
Right.
And so they go home to blow the shofar for him in his house. All you need to blow is this 30 kolot.
Is that all that they do?
That's all that they do. They're not going to blow him 101 kolot now. Because he's already already praying musaf on his own. You're not going to say he's going to pray musaf on his own.
Praying.
They just blow it for
him.
That's it.
Right.
If he's too sick to pray, they'll just blow the 30, and that's the end of it. They're not going to blow all 101.
And the Amidah, each section goes like this, 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 then this.
Okay, so that's a good question.
So now if he's making it all up in one shot, does he do it in that order?
So really, the only way you're allowed to do that, taking one set from each one, is because you blew the 30.
Right.
Because otherwise, if you took one of each set,
you didn't do anything.
You didn't do anything because it could be either one.
Hafuch,
you definitely didn't do anything because you definitely did only one of the only. You only did a set of three for one of them, which is the correct one.
But
whichever one is not the other two are incorrect.
But in the Amidah, you'll get the three.
In total, you'll get the three. The problem is you have a break in between them. That's no good, right? So that's the only reason why you're allowed. There are some customs that don't do it that way. There are some customs that don't do it like us.
That
in the Amidah, they do one set of this for Malchiyot, then they do a set of this for Zichronot, and they do a set of this for Shofarot, which makes a lot more sense, by the way. Makes much more sense. Because then you're guaranteed.
It's like an elective shofar, the Musa, like, because you're not doing anything.
Right, it becomes elective. Right, but that makes more sense to do sets of full sets, because then, in the case that the person didn't fulfill in the 30 or someone came late, he's for sure going to fulfill his obligation.
But now he's for sure not.
He's for sure not, because he's separating them.
Right.
You could make the case that the other ones don't create a hefsek or something like that, but now you have problems of hefsek.
So,
he's hearing other voices that are not proper.
So if something happens during the first set, and you have to go outside or whatever, you can't rely on Musaf.
You could. I'll tell you why you could. Because even though you're having the other ones break up in the between, you could just disregard them as nothing. Right? Pretend that they're nothing. They didn't exist. And as long as you hear, you're going to see in a minute, as long as you hear the nine sounds in the proper order, even if you had other sounds that were not good in the between, you could just disregard them. Pretend as if they're nothing. Pretend they're nothing.
Line.
Right. Pretend they're nothing. Right.
We don't even know which ones are nothing.
We don't know which ones, but whichever ones they are, they're nothing. Right. You say to yourself, whichever ones they are, whichever one is not the right one, pretend that it doesn't exist, and the other ones exist. But it would make more sense to other customs to blow sets instead of blowing one from each one. The reason why we do it is for a different reason. And I'm not exactly sure. I don't remember why, but we do it for a different reason, or because we're relying on the fact that we did the 30 already. So that's basically what happens there. Okay. We'll just close out this Mishnah. Keshem sheshaliach tzibur hayav, just like the Hazan is obligated to recite the Tfilat Musaf on his own, kach kol yahid v'yahid hayav. So the question that the Mishnah is now talking about is, can a person fulfill his Tfilat Musaf simply by listening and responding to the Hazan's Tfilat?
Saying no here.
That's how it used to be.
Right, so that was the whole purpose of the institution of Hazara, was for people who didn't know, right? So now the question is, let's say a person knows how to pray, right? If a person doesn't know how to pray, so then it's obvious that he could do it. The question here is, let's say a person knows how to pray on his own. Can he still simply listen to the Hazan and rely on the Hazan's tefillah to fulfill his obligation? Says Tanakama, no. Keshem sheshaliach tzibur hayav, just like the Hazan is obligated to recite for himself and also do a Hazara, kach kol yahid v'yahid, so too every individual who knows how to pray for himself, hayav, he's obligated to pray. If you know how to pray, you have to be able to pray. You can't rely on the Hazan. Rabban Gamliel disagreed. He was more lenient. He said, shaliach tzibur motzi et harabim yedei chovatam. The Hazan, in his repetition, fulfills the obligation of everybody, both people who don't know how to pray, as well as people who do know how to pray. Why? This was unique to Rosh Hashanah. Because of the uniqueness of the Rosh Hashanah tefillah, because of how special it is and how unorthodox it is compared to the rest of the year, here Rabban Gamliel felt that a special license was granted even to those who could potentially know how to pray on their own.
Because people are going to make mistakes.
Even those who know are not as fluent in this tefillah. Even if they know how to pray, or they might make mistakes. So Rabban Gamliel offered that leniency, that specifically on Rosh Hashanah, where there's a very special, unique Amidah that people are not accustomed to praying, then a person can rely on the Hazan and fulfill his obligation with the Hazan. The halacha over here, the halacha I believe over here follows Rabban Gamliel, that we are, he says, halacha ke hachamim bibrachot shel kol hashana. The halacha follows the hachamim that all year long, if you know how to pray, you cannot fulfill the obligation with the hazan, but the halacha follows Rabban Gamliel on Rosh Hashanah, that you could use the hazan. It's not commonly done that way, but you could use the hazan. Hazak, 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 baruch Adonai le'onem. Amen ve'amen. Tomorrow we begin a new masechet, Moed Katan, which talks about the laws of Chol HaMoed. And Avelut. So great. We'll talk about those too.
Okay.